John chapter 4. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. Talking about our Lord. Now we had to go through Samaria. John chapter 4. I'm going to read a bunch to you today. Verses 4 through 29. I'm sorry, 26. Now we had to go through Samaria. So we came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus asked her, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and the flocks and his herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of living water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." I'm going to read three more verses as the worship team comes, because we're going to look at worship this morning. The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Lord, we come before you this morning, giving you all honor and praise and glory, lifting our hands and our voices to you, that you would be glorified among us. And as we look to heaven, we look to worship. We want to worship you this morning and grab on to the kingdom of God and align ourselves with you, Lord, that you would be high and lifted up, and that we would bend the knee, and that you would be glorified, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. We're going to open our preaching time, our study time, with a song. Would you stand and sing?
Take my friends and take
just you and me here now. It's only you and me here now. It's just you and me here now. It's only you and me here now. It's just you and me here now. It's only you and me here now. And I will worship.
The worship team is going to stay up here today. You can be seated. We're in this series called Selected to Soar. Last week we talked about soaring in the Word, a lamp unto our feet. Today we're going to take a look at soaring in worship. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. Word of God is key to soaring in your life. In worship, God gives us the ability to connect with Him. Word of God, we connect to the truth, the ability to live our lives and to conduct our lives aligned on heaven. Amen? In worship, we receive the opportunity to align on and grab onto the very throne room of God. That perhaps you experience the presence of God in our time of singing this morning. Anyone? Last night in our prayer time, we all experienced the presence of God. And this, I hope, is a starting point for you that as you experience that presence of God, because many people view worship as that time before the preaching starts, as that time at the beginning of a service, they say that was great worship. But what worship is, it presents the opportunity for us to move into and align ourselves with God and His plans for our lives. Amen? Amen? So, we're in this series called Selected to Soar, and God wants you connected to Him. God wants you to grab on to Him. And last week we talked about 10 percenters. I talked about 82% of Americans would declare themselves to be Christians, that they are connected with God. And we work through that a little bit, and there's some people that are just in error. Oh, I'm a Christian, and they have no clue what being a Christian is about. I've always been a Christian. But Barna had come up with, I had a thing up here. What'd you do with my bulletin? Yes, I set all that stuff up on purpose. Had set up 7 things that you can do to be a 10 percenter, 7 things that you can do to soar. But in your bulletin for probably the last year is this side of the bulletin, We Believe. And there are 10 of those. So I would give you 10 steps to being a 10 percenter, that somebody who is sold out for the Lord and who knows the Lord and is grabbing on. Amen? So as we come to worship today, and our study of worship, and our ability to grab on to the Lord, and the ability to be a 10%er, see, I want to be a 10% pastor. And I want this to be a 10% church. And I want you to be 10% people. As you do these things, and as you grab on to the kingdom of God in worship, and you align yourselves with the spiritual realms, we truly begin to soar in our lives, and we truly become the 10%ers that are recognized by the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us that God has set eternity in our hearts, that there is an understanding and a desire for eternity. Anybody want to go to heaven? Amen. It's not because of something that you just thought up. God has placed that in your heart, a desire. And in many cultures across this globe, there are errors as far as eternity comes. But the Lord has put that desire for eternity and the desire for the supernatural in our hearts, in our souls. He has given us the ability to worship. If you've been to a rock and roll, I don't even know if that's the appropriate word to use anymore, but when I was a kid, we used to go to a rock and roll concert. Maybe you've been to a Chargers game. There is an eruption of applause that can come. Perhaps you were at a Padres game this week. There was no applause. There was no eruption. But I say that. See, God has given us the ability to worship. And he's given us the ability to ascribe worth to him. In worship, there is that ability to be almost carried away in the Spirit. To be overcome with the Spirit of God. To grab on. And to be transformed. 10%ers. And I'm looking at some people who didn't come last week. George Barna did a study on Christians in the United States. 82% were self-declared Christians. Of that, 36% were notional Christians. I've been a Christian. I've always been a Christian. They had no clue what it meant to be born again. Didn't believe in the Bible. Didn't do anything, but they called themselves Christians. He called them notional Christians. He talked about another 36% that were born again, and he called them non-evangelicals. They had given their life to the Lord, but they did not believe in the Bible. They did not believe that you're saved by grace alone. They did not believe a bunch of the foundational truths of the Christian faith. So it had taken an initial step, but had gone no more. So as I talk about the 10%ers, the 10%ers are those who would grab onto the Bible, the Word of God, as the inerrant truth of God, the directions for living. Believe that Jesus was crucified, died, was raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and intercedes for us. There are all these truths of Christianity that the 10%ers grab onto and are thus aligned with God. So I'm going to say 10%ers a lot today, and I just wanted to kind of regress the last week and kind of set that foundation again. You guys okay with that? Amen. Got it? So there's a lot of people who think they're good, but Jesus said what? There's a narrow path, and there's a few people on it. He said in that day, there's going to be people come up to me and say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, who are you? Well, hey. He said, I don't even know you. So today we're going to take a look at soaring in worship. We're going to take a look at God being big, God being first, and God being daily. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. God is big. God is big. And as a little aside, my brain is really stretching today because the worship team is going to be up here the whole time. And we're going to be integrated. So I'm trying to compact that into my brain. I've been preaching for 17 years here. This is the first time I've ever done that. So I turned around and went, oh, yeah. Wow. All right. So We're going to the book of Revelation. We're going to be through the Bible a little bit. To the throne room of God, that God indeed is indeed big. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Each of the four living creatures, and this is a picture that John has, jumping right in the middle of chapter 4, and his vision of the throne of God. And these four living creatures are surrounding that throne. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." God is holy. Can I get a witness on that? This is a picture of worship. 24/7, these four beings, there are also, we'll read in a moment, 24 elders that surround the throne of God in continual praise. They recognize who God is and how he is. They recognize it. They do not declare it. It is not as if God needs to surround himself with these beings to declare his holiness so that he can then be lifted up. No, God is lifted up, and there is a recognition by those around him that he is already lifted up. There is not a vote that is going on heaven and seeing whether or not he's worthy. Can I get a witness on that? We're going to vote for president, and he who becomes the president, or she who becomes the president, will receive a great deal of power and recognition. God already has that power, so we give him that recognition. Amen. Got it? All right. I got to throw this. We're going through a lot of stuff today. We're just going to go. Day and night they worship. They make this declaration. God is holy, and God is indeed holy. The word here means distinct. The word here means separate. The word here means different from anything else. God is infinite. Amen? Everything else is finite. He talks through the prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The distinction, the separateness, the separation between God and the rest includes righteousness. It includes goodness and purity. God is the definition. And if you struggle, well, a good and perfect God wouldn't allow this. Well, you obviously don't have the right picture of God's bigness. Amen? One thing that we can read from this text here as well is that God is indeed eternal. That God exists outside of time. I had some, it was difficult to portray, but I copied some timelines. And you can see timelines from the long time ago to current. And they're just big pictures. They have little pictures on it. That is how God looks at time. He sees the beginning. He sees the end. We see right now. You might remember yesterday. You might imagine tomorrow or later on, someday, when the Padres will actually beat the Dodgers. It could be a long time. I don't know. But we live in time where God sees time. He's eternal. For him who was and is to come. Amen? Amen. All right. God is worthy. Whenever the living creatures, continue on in Revelation chapter 4, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne. So get the picture. You got the 24 elders, and you got these four beings who are giving honor and praise, who live forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne. And that's a picture. I mean, imagine the elders arrayed before the throne, and these four beings that have eyes all over them and the wings, and they are shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And every time they say that, the elders bow down, put down their crowns, and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." That is pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. Picture of worship. Place of recognition of God's worth. It is in our worship. As we see in the throne room of heaven, at the throne of God, that these four beings are aligned on the throne of God, and these 24 elders are bowing and aligning themselves with the holiness and rightness and goodness of God. And it is in worship that we can do the same thing. That we align ourselves on the kingdom of God. That we align ourselves with the spiritual realm. And it is the 10 percenters that as they are aligned, grab on and are transformed. And so I'm wondering this morning, are you a worshiper? Are you a 10 percenter? Are you grabbing on to the kingdom of God? God is worthy of praise because He's the creator of everything. Everything that we see and experience. Look at the screen. I don't even know where that is. It looks like a glacier with some wildflowers. Wherever it is, that is pretty incredible. Everything we see, everything there is, spoken into existence by God. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So you can see God here. I mean, I don't know if you can see God in the pavement out there. But in the trees, everything holds the thumbprint of God so that we can understand Him and we can ascribe worth to Him so that worship and adoration can be birthed in our hearts and we can align on God and we can grab on in worship. It is the 10 percenters that grab on to God and are transformed. Amen. Amen? In Him all things have been created. All things have been created through Him and for Him. Paul writing to the church, letter to Colossians. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Not only did He create this great looking thing, but it is He that holds it together. You know, scientists, they get down into molecules and atoms and all that stuff, and they get so far, and they get to a point where we say, we don't know how it works. We don't know what holds this together. Well, the Bible 2,000 years ago told us that all things are held together by the power of God. Right. See, He is worthy of praise. He keeps this universe from spinning out of control. He is worthy. Amen. Of worship. So let's stand again and we're going to worship Him.
Worship Him now. How great, how awesome.
is the Lord.
Johnny's good. You guys can be seated. 17 years. Maybe it's just been too long. Hey? You got me there, Walter? All right, very good. All right. God is big. Worship helps us recognize that. God is first. God helps us do that. Amen? Amen. Philippians chapter 2, and then we'll go to chapter 3 in a second. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that, that's a good part, isn't it? The name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's good, isn't it? See, Jesus is Lord. In all of God's magnificence and holiness, there was a problem. There was a separation between God and man. That disconnect was a result of choice, result of sin. Our sin separated us from God, blocks our view of God. We just can't make it through. And because of our distance, God comes near to us and we say, no. I did that for a long time in my life. My sin was so big, my sin overwhelmed my ability to apprehend and understand the nature of God, the kingdom of God. Jesus came to give us a better picture. Jesus came to give us the opportunity to grab on. Jesus' death on the cross gives us the opportunity to see through that sin and grab on to God. See God. Holy Spirit comes because of the sacrifice of Jesus and gives us some glimpses of the kingdom. Holy Spirit calls to our heart, calls to our soul, gives us the opportunity to grab on. All because of the sacrifice of Jesus. It is because of that sacrifice that our Father in heaven bestowed upon Jesus the name that is above every name. Amen. That we can bow a knee, that we can recognize, and it is in worship where we can recognize the preeminence of Jesus, and that we can declare his praises and his glory so that we can be transformed in our lives and grab onto the kingdom. Amen?
Amen?
Now, Paul also says that our salvation, our recognition of Jesus is intended for God to receive glory. For God to receive glory. Worship. See how that gets tied together? Jesus is my Lord. Is Jesus your Lord? Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained this. This is Paul speaking. Not that I've already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus is my Lord. That is, see, Jesus can be the Lord. Jesus can be far away. You can recognize just from reading the Bible that, okay, yeah, God has given him the name above every name. That's all fine and dandy. But until you make it personal, until you realign your life on him, until he becomes your Lord, until you say it, Jesus, you are my Lord, that reorientation never happens. Amen. Jesus revealed himself, appeared to Paul on his way to Damascus as he was killing Christians. He appeared to him and in a light, and Paul was blinded, and he says to Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul's answer is, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus." And in that moment, Paul's life is transformed. So the question for you today, as you come to worship, because for many of us, as we sing those songs, we sing them to our Lord. But you can just be singing them to the Lord. Paul says, in that moment, the futility of my life became apparent to me. That everything that I had counted as gain, all my wealth, all my position, all my effort, I considered that to be garbage compared to knowing the prize that my Lord had called me heavenward for. Amen. See, when you do that, when you are realigned, it requires that we would be renewed in our minds, that we would be renewed in our souls. And so I'm wondering this morning if you've had that renewal. What do you do when Jesus comes to you, calls your name? You say, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus. Completely reorganized my life." God has given him the name above every name. Big question today is he your Lord? Are you grabbing on? Or what's in the way of your grabbing on to him? Worship gives you a grip on God. It's the 10%ers that are grabbing on. Amen? We're going to sing again. You like that? I'm liking this. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. shining up on heaven. You can be seated. God is big. God is first. God is daily. God is daily. From Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Worship is continual. Goes on and on and on. A daily activity. Grabbing on to the kingdom of God is a daily activity. There are many who view worship as this thing that we do in church and leave it at church. But I find myself in worship, in the presence of the Lord, many times during the day. Paul and Ann went to the big prayer meeting, Azusa Now, yesterday, and Lisa was watching it on the internet. And I'm telling you, the presence of God just flowed right into the room. And you can, and there was 100,000 people there or something like that, Pastor Paul? So 50,000 people, a few more than we got here today, comes through the internet. But you can have that presence of God just walking down the street. I will often find myself singing or praying or praising the Lord. I tell you, oftentimes I pray a ton when I'm standing in line at the store. I got nothing to do. I just start inside just praising the Lord. Glory. You can have that. You can line up on the Lord, line up on the kingdom every day, all day. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Get that line up, grab on to heaven. See, it's the 10%ers who are grabbing on and are keeping that grip. Amen? Comes down to worship. We have some barriers to worship. The biggie, if you look to that person to your right, and then look at that person to the left, it's the person in between that gets in the way of our worshiping God. Because, see, so often we love ourselves more than anything else. Like a little kid, right? Me, me. You got a lot of little me, me's going on there. Yeah, me, I want it. Mine. And it takes a long time to break off that love affair with yourself. See, when we come to worship, what we do is we proclaim our love for God. And that is that renewal. Paul says that you're going to get lined up on heaven. You're going to grab on to heaven. There's a renewal that needs to take place in your mind, that daily we would renew our mind and line on heaven and grab on. Grab on like a bulldog, you know? Never going to let go. Worship helps you get that grip. Ascribes and worth to God. And as you say, God, you are worth so much. I get smaller and smaller and smaller. Amen? We do that and we're improved. Paul says, you line up on heaven. You get renewed in your mind through the word. We talked about last week through worship and other things we're going to be talking about. That you, in your finiteness, will be able to grab onto the infinite, and you are improved. You are expanded. You are made better. Amen? He says, as you do that, you're able to discern now the will of God for your life. People come to the Lord and say, I got no clue. Can I get a witness on that? I came to the Lord, it was because my life was in the pit. People come along and say, God has a plan for your life. I said, man, I am so messed up. I'm just trying to take one more step. I got no clue because I was not renewed in my mind. It takes, you can be spiritually transformed in an instant when you give your life to the Lord, amen? But you got that whole, I got too much me in my life, and you're not going to discern what God has in store for you. And so Paul says, hey, be renewed in your mind. Line yourselves up on the kingdom, and you will grab onto the infinite, you will grab onto the throne of God, and you will begin to understand what he wants you to do. That makes you better. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, you start looking at options in your life, and you go, not God, that's for sure. And start walking away. The very stuff that is in your way of grabbing onto God, you're now able to say, hey, what is this? I don't need this. Toss it away and get a firmer grip on heaven. Amen? Amen. His good, pleasing, and perfect will for you. 10%ers are getting it. And they keep on getting it. Amen? I want to be a 10% pastor. I want this to be a 10% church. And I want you, everybody here, to be 10% people of God. Doesn't that sound good? Amen. Tommy wants to be a 10%. Look at that, man. He's got a 10% suit on right there, man. He's looking good. Look at that 10%. Look at that. He's got a 10% watch. I got like a 5% watch. Look at that thing, man. All right, that's good, right? Okay, here we go. All right, 1 Peter, we end with this. As you come to him, are you coming to him? Are you being transformed in your life? He says, as you come to him, the living stone, we're dead stones, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Priests got jobs. Job is offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, worship is continual and worship is cumulative. My worship and your worship and your worship and your worship all stacks up. Our lives are built together, fashioned together. It all starts with God. He chooses us to be part of his plan. And what I love about the Lord is he chooses the worst to make the best. Amen. He does a transformation in each of us. As he chooses you, you are precious to him. You are dear to him. He chooses us out of the natural to make something in the supernatural. He chooses us to soar. Takes natural stones to make a supernatural house. And that is why as we gather here today, we are unique in the whole world. Because God takes imperfect stones to join together to make a spiritual house that worship and sacrifice would go up to bring glory and honor to our Father in heaven. Amen. He goes, check it out, down in City Heights. And it's not because we're doing such a great work, but that he's doing such a great work in us. Amen. He's going, look at me. I'm doing that great thing down there, and all we got to do, be renewed so that we can understand what he wants us to do. Amen. That's good, isn't it?
Good.
Yeah, it's good. 10%ers grabbing onto the kingdom, grabbing onto the plan. We're priests of God. I am a priest of God. Amen?
Amen.
You are a priest of God. Amen? Amen? We all got the same job. Offer up spiritual sacrifice. Sacrifice. That means something that has a cost to us. We make a surrender. We no longer love me, but we love God. And because we love God, there is a price that we pay. We call it sacrifice. Spiritual sacrifice for the spiritual realm. Bible tells us as we gather, God is right here in our midst. Our service to our Lord right here in this place. We mimic what is going on in heaven. We shout, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are worthy, our Lord, to receive all honor and praise and power." There's a spiritual sacrifice that happens as we lift up the name of Jesus. And supernaturally, Jesus tells us the result. "As I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me and soar." Amen?
Amen.
Soaring in worship. Sounds good, doesn't it? You'll walk around like that. You can kneel. You can have that. Always. We're going to end our time a little differently today. We're going to sing like we've been singing all day. But we're going to act like those 24 elders. To do that, we're going to array ourselves in worship. But to do that, I'm going to invite you to come up here in a minute. We talk about a royal priesthood, right? You're a royal priesthood, right? Priesthood, sacrificial service. Yes, it will require steps. One foot in front of another, in front of another. It's going to be tough. I mean, you can do it. But and the closest thing that we have got to that is when we pray in our prayer meetings, we get into groups. But I'm thinking it's going to be a very cool thing. Amen?
Amen.
No, and we might even sing more than one song. Could be good, eh? But as I've been talking about grabbing on to heaven and grabbing onto God and being a 10%er, God has been speaking to some of you and saying you're not a 10%er, that you are not grabbing onto me, and I don't know why, but you know why, and God knows why, and as I have been preaching this message, God has been telling you the whole time, you got something in the way. Who can tell me? Sometimes you've got to get rid of some stuff so you got to get a better grip on heaven. Amen?
Amen?
And God's been telling you. Now, one cool thing that God gives us is the ability to worship and a place to worship. God also gives us the altar. And in the altar, we can lay down things and get rid of them out of our lives. And the Lord's been speaking to you and saying, you got to lay some things down because it's in the way. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I've done laid down a lot of stuff. The Lord's speaking to you this morning, telling you got to lay some stuff down. And you're going to have a problem because in a minute, it's going to get crowded. And so if the Lord is speaking to your heart, you have to be quick. You have to be quick, slip right up, or you have to be strong and just push somebody over. But we're shooting for quick. We're shooting for quick. Amen? So Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. And that you have been given the name above every name. You are worthy of all praise and honor and glory because you hung on a cross, Lord, that we could get a glimpse of heaven, Lord, that we could get a grip on the kingdom and we could be transformed in our lives. And Lord, I thank you that by your Spirit you speak to us and you let us know what is in the way and that you receive sacrifice, that we could sacrifice those things in our lives that get in the way, get in between us and you. Celebrate, and we can worship, and we can align on you, and we can be renewed in our very existence. stand. And I'm going to give you a moment. You want to come up here and kneel. You want to do a little surgery. You want to make a sacrifice. I'm just going to ask you to just come and just kneel right here quickly.
Thank you. Before you, only you. Just voices again.